Chapter 28, Putting Your Best into Words. Empty words hold no more interest than a last year's bird's nest. When we fill the words with ourselves, we are honest. Our words will be honest. Others grow to depend on them. I know of a young man whose words are filled with love and unselfishness and a desire to help people. Whenever he speaks in the company of people, they listen to him. Nowhere do words have the strange effect that they do in a radio message. The minister who speaks over the air in a cold, dead voice will get a cold, dead response, no matter how beautiful the thoughts he has or how beautifully he closed them. If the words are not filled with love, with faith, they don't live. Faith is built by words. Deeds have their place, but deeds are the children of words in a large measure. You speak, then I watch you perform. It is your speech that attracts my attention. Your deeds have their place, and we give you credit for them, but it is your words that set us on fire. You can fill your words with anything you wish. You can fill them with fear until the very air around you vibrates with doubt and fear and restlessness. You can fill your words with fear germs, and you will fill me with fear of disease and disaster. Your words are filled with interrogation points, with the sense of lack, with hunger and want. Or you come to me, and your words are filled with faith. Your faith words stir me to the very depths. I wonder why I ever doubted. Your words enwrap me with themselves. Your words are like sunlight, like coming into a warm room from a cold, frosty atmosphere outside. Your words pick up my drooping, broken spirit and fill it with confidence with which to go out and fight again. They are faith words, wonderful words. The reason Jesus' words had such far-reaching influence was that they were faith words. When he said to the sea, "Peace, be still," the very sea grew quiet, and the winds hushed their noise to hear the words of faith from the lips of the man. The deaf could hear his faith words. The lame and broken could rise and walk and run because of his faith words. There was something in his words that drove disease and pain out of the body and fear out of the heart. I can hear John say, "I used exactly the same words, and that boy was not healed." Now the master takes the word out of my lips and fills them with something, and when they are heard, the child is healed. What did Jesus put into his words that had such healing power? A salesman is talking. He says, "I cannot understand it. I used the same argument, the same method, and I utterly failed. I used almost the identical words, and yet they said, 'No, I cannot buy today. I have no special interest in this thing.' Then the other man came and took my seat. He used the same formula that I had. The man became interested immediately. After a while, he reached into his pocket and pulled out his checkbook. What did that man have that I didn't? One man's words were filled with pure mentality. He said the things like a phonograph. The other put living faith, interest, and love into his words. When this last salesman sat down, there was a look of quiet assurance on his face, and his first sentence registered because he believed in the thing he was selling. He not only believed in it, but he believed that if the customer purchased it, it would be a blessing to him. It was a safe and wise investment. This man generated faith, created faith in the customer. The customer put his hand in his pocket and held it there quite a while. He was holding on to his checkbook. By and by, he said, "I will take so many shares. That looks good to me." His check was written and signed. The deal was made. Why? Because the salesman had filled his words with faith.